ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 26, titled The Aila Gita, Text Number 1. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Mallakshanam Imam Kayam, Leptva Madharma Astitaha, आनंदम परमात्मानम् आत्मस्थम् समुपैति माम्। श्री भगवान उवाच मल्लक्षणम् इमं कायम् लब्ध्वा मद्धर्म आस्थितः आनंदम परमात्मानम् आत्मस्थम् समुपैति माम्। श्री भगवान उवाच मल्लक्षणम् इमं कायम् लब्ध्वा मद्धर्म आस्थितः आनंदम परमात्मानम् आत्मस्तम् समुपैति माम्। श्री भगवान उवाच द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड सेड मत लक्षणम् इन विच आई कैन बी रियलाइज्ड इमम् दिस कायम् ह्यूमन बॉडी लब्ध्वा हैविंग अचीव्ड मद्धर्मे इन डिवोशनल सर्विस टू मी आस्थितः सिचुएटेड आनंदम हु इज प्योर एक्स्टेसी परमात्मानम द सुप्रीम सोल आत्मस्थम सिचुएटेड विद इन द हार्ट समुपैति ही अचीव्स मां Me. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, having achieved this human form of life, which affords one the opportunity to realize me, and being situated in my devotional service, one can achieve me, the reservoir of all pleasure, and the supreme soul of all existence, residing within the heart of every living being. So before reading the purport, I'll go through the chapter summary. So this is the 26th chapter, the Aila Gita. This chapter explains how unfavorable association is a threat to one's position in devotional service and how by associating with saintly persons, one can attain the highest platform of devotion. The jiva who has received a human body which is in itself most conducive toward achieving the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who has situated himself in the duties of devotional service to the Lord becomes capable of realizing him, the very identity of spiritual bliss. Such a person, fully dedicated to the Supreme Personality, is liberated from the influence of Maya. Even while continuing to reside in this world created by illusion, he is totally untouched by it. Those souls, on the other hand, who are bound up by Maya are devoted only by their bellies and genitals. They are impure, and by associating with them, one will fall down into the dark pit of ignorance. The Emperor Pururava, who was bewildered by the association of Heavenly Lady Urvashi, later became renounced after being separated from her. He thus sang a song expressing his contempt for womanly connection. He described that persons who are attached to the body of a woman or a man, which is simply a mass of skin, meat, blood, sinew, brain, tissue, marrow and bones are not much different from worms. What is the worth of the education, austerity, renunciation, deception of Vedas, solitary living and silence of one whose mind becomes stolen away by the body of a woman? Learned men should distrust the six mental enemies headed by lust and thus avoid associating with women or with men who are controlled by women. After declaring these facts, King Pururava, now freed from the illusion of material existence, attained realization of the Supreme Lord in his form as the indwelling super soul. In conclusion, one who is intelligent should give up bad association and let himself become attracted to the company of saintly persons. By their transcendental instructions, the saintly devotees of the Lord can break the false attachments of one's mind. Real saints are always liberated and devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In their association, there are constant discussions about the Supreme Lord, by serving whom the spirit soul completely eradicates this material sins and obtains pure devotional service. And when one gains the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original ocean of unlimited perfect qualities, what else remains to be gained? So this is the chapter summary and purport to this verse by servants of Srila Prabhupada. So it's a short purport. Because of bad association, even those who are spiritually liberated may fall down from self-realization. Within the material world, the association of women is especially dangerous. And therefore, in this chapter, the Aila Gita is spoken to prevent such a fall down. One can be saved from sex attraction by association with saintly persons who awaken one's real spiritual intelligence. Therefore, Lord Krishna will speak to Uddhava the amazing song of Pururava, also known as Aila Gita. Om Jnanati Virandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurunditamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This chapter, the Aila Gita, is very instructive for all of us, as it's very nicely mentioned both in the purport as well as in the chapter summary. So the main teaching of this chapter is that the purpose of this chapter is to teach us the attraction to the opposite sex. As it is mentioned, those who are attached to women and attachment to those who are attached to women, both are causes of fall down. So if you see this teaching is being repeated in Srimad Bhagavatam in many places. We can see in third canto, Lord Kapila Dev, he instructs, he says, Mahasevam dwaram ahur vimuktes tamodvaram yoshitam sangi sangam. So if somebody is attached to the association of saintly people, then that actually wide opens the gateway of liberation. And exactly opposite to that, if somebody is attracted to the opposite sex, woman, or somebody who is attached to the woman, if we get attracted by that, then it is cause of fall down. And many other places in Srimad Bhagavatam also give strong warning regarding the danger of attraction to the opposite sex and how it can cause fall down. So if you see Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, we can understand why this point is mentioned very clearly and repeatedly. It is mentioned that sex attraction is the driving principle of the material world. So the material world is known as Mayuna Agara. Maithuna Aghara. Maithuna means the sex attraction. Aghara means the prison house. So, if you see this prison house of material existence, it's not just the shackles as we can see in a gross form, or the shackles as we mean literally, but the main shackle is that of attraction to the opposite sex. So one can come to this world again and again only because one wants to associate with the opposite sex. So that is the danger. And to obtain that, one actually goes through a lot of hard work, a lot of hard struggle, and spend year after year, one lifetime, two lifetimes, and many lifetimes. So, such a strong attraction and such a strong misery that this attraction can give. So that is the reason very nicely this point is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. If in this world we can see people get, you know, attraction to the opposite sex, when it becomes strong, you know, one may get married in the karmi world, one may get married, and in marriage it doesn't last too long, because when there is no possibility of intimate dealings, when there is no satisfaction, there is no fulfillment, one actually give up one's wife and divorce, then try for something else. And this process continues. And one, in the material world, people don't realize that only by the association with the opposite sex, one cannot get fulfillment. There is something more to it. So it is mentioned, my spiritual master was giving a story, that old persons, a billionaire, he has a deal. Every another 2 years, or in 3 years span, he get married. And in 3 years, he'll get divorced, and then again he get married. So he has already a package in his part of his budget. That is, how much is the divorce settlement, how much to pay. And he marries a young beautiful woman, and get married and continue for some time. Of course, divorce is part of it, because who is attracted for such a life? And the woman who is getting married, she is not actually interested in him, but in the money, because he's an old man, there is no much attraction as such, but money is very attractive. And she gets her money and goes back, and this deal is continuing. So the whole thing is part of the budget. And now, it is said in the Western world, the number of divorces are reducing. So one may think it is because of the piety, you know, the divorces are number is reducing. No, because there are not many marriages. So the number of divorces naturally has to go down. We are seeing another day one statistics, even in India. India is catching up in this regard. In the Bombay, it was mentioned 40-50% divorce rate. 40-50% is very high in the metropolitan area. Such a high thing. If you consider even 15 years back, if you consider the divorce and all this kind of thing, it is considered very low. It was not so wide. It was quite only a few. But now it is like it is well accepted in the society. Not just in the Western society, but in the Indian society, there was some piety. Now a little bit of piety may remain here or there, but it is widely accepted. And people think, yes, it is part of the life. That's how it is. It should be. Now, nobody is afraid to say, oh no, look, you know, I just got married, I got divorced. It's alright, it's part of it. It's acceptable. It has become very acceptable. Even in Indian society. And the West, there is no need to mention, because there is no need of marriage, because the progress is going in such a way that, you know, it is becoming more animalistic. If somebody wants to live together, just live together. And enjoy the sense of, yes, do it. And finish it. Whenever they want, can finish it. This is animalistic life. So there is a very nice story regarding this attraction to the opposite sex. This is with the famous king Akbar, a Mughal king who ruled over India, and his vice minister, who is Birbal. So one time his minister told Akbar, look, one of the strongest attraction is attraction to the opposite sex. So he said, even at the old age, a man is getting attracted to the opposite sex. So king said, no, that's not true. You know, at old age, at least, when the senses are a bit down, at least this desire will go down. Birbal said, no, that's not true. So he said, okay, we will take an experiential learning procedure. That is, we will experiment, and from our experience we can learn something. So he said, in such and such person is an old man, he is about to die, he is quite sick, he is in his, pretty much in the deathbed, you know, he is conscious, but you know, he is not so well. So Birbal said, okay, we will go and visit him. And Birbal said, or while going, you had to do one thing. King, you had to bring your daughter, who is very young and very beautiful. So three of them went to visit this old man. So then Birbal said, look, when you enter the room, see what is the consciousness of this old man. Whom will he look at? The king is there, he is the emperor, you know, he is ruling over everyone. The king is there, his assembly, you know, the whole other people are there. But when he entered, sure enough, the old man was completely absorbed by the young girl. So this is the attraction. And then, okay, he turned to the king. So Birbal said, look, what is the prime attraction? And we can see, if somebody has this consciousness, what will be the destination? As Bhagavad Gita says, the principle, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tejatyante kalevaram tam tam eveti kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavitaha. So the destination is determined by the consciousness at the time of death, what we think at the time of death. So if somebody is cultivating such a consciousness, what is the destination? It's not very bright. So Bhagavatam wants, yan maithunati grihameti sukham hi tucham. It is very insignificant. Bhagavatam says, such a pleasure that one can obtain by the opposite sex is insignificant. So one should actually try for something better. And we can see, when the body is ready, then the mind comes up with the desires. That's a very important point. Say, at young age, there is no, you know, there is no much of attraction as such for the opposite sex or anything. You know, people are, you know, children, they're quite innocent. But when the body is matured, when one reaches the puberty, when the body is ready, then the mind starts throwing all the different desires. You know, as we can see, you know, Bhakti Shastri, we are looking at, you know, the Kutam and the Bijam. Kutam is the proclivity which is not actually yet manifested as the desire, not as the sinful desire, Bijam. It hasn't yet manifested. So everything lies in the Kutam form, which is, you know, it is under the carpet, it is there. But when the body is ready to support, then it actually comes out. Usually one asks the question, what is the proof that there is reincarnation? Okay, we can, all the stuff to Dr. Ian Stevenson, there are so many psychoanalysis studies that he has done and he has published so many papers. Okay, that is, apart from that, if you see where our impressions are coming from, we are actually carrying forward our impressions in the subtle body. So we can see, you know, when the teens, you know, when we reach a teen, you know, the whole different things, all different interests, all different desires are manifesting in our heart. Where is it coming from? As Bhagavad Gita says, you know, just like the flower is carrying the aroma, the subtle body is carrying the impressions from our previous life, and we are carrying forward life after life. So this is actually a subtle proof that there has to be reincarnation, because where this is coming from? And that too, pretty much all of a sudden. At one point, you know, the whole thing starts coming, popping up. Now, here, in this context, in this particular verse, in the Aila Gita, Aila, by the way, the name Aila means King Pururava. So, Aila Gita means, Ila is the name of King Pururava. So, that's an Aila Gita, means a song sung by King Pururava. So, who is King Pururava? And what is the story, what is the context in which this song was sung? We can see, it is mentioned in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are different dynasties of different kings mentioned who ruled over the earth. So, everyone knows about Urvashi. Urvashi is the heavenly dancer, the queen of all beauties, very, very beautiful. And she was actually created by the Supreme Lord himself. She is coming from the body of the Supreme Lord. So she was actually empowered to dance and sing and to attract the heart of not just ordinary living beings, but even the great demigods like Indra. So that is the potency of Urvashi. And one time, due to one curse, Urvashi got this human tendencies. Okay, it is mentioned, the human tendencies. Because usually it is very difficult for dancer, apsara like Urvashi to get attracted to a human being. For them, human beings are just stinky, low-class men or women, whatever. It's very low-class. But still, Urvashi got attracted to King Pururava. So Urvashi is a heavenly lady and Pururava was just a human being. But he was a hero, he was a king, he was an emperor. So it was only due to a curse. So she got attracted to the body and the character of Pururava. And Urvashi approached King Pururava in a very nice manner. And seeing Urvashi, naturally, Pururava also got attracted to her. And she said, and Pururava said, look, we have to live together. And we have to unite. In that way we can perpetually enjoy our lives. So Urvashi was attracted, Pururava was also attracted, and Urvashi said, okay, I am happy to accept you as my husband. But there are only two conditions. So conditions apply. So this is like a divorce settlement, even before the marriage. But that was the, even in Purana there was a divorce settlement. And the settlement was this. First one, she said, I will eat only foodstuff cooked in ghee, clarified butter. Not very difficult if you consider Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. We have enough yellow buckets, so it's a demand which could be met. Then the second was, I shouldn't see you naked at any time except when she is uniting with him. That's the only time she can see him, Pururava, in naked. Otherwise, shouldn't see. So these are the two conditions. So immediately Pururava said, these are very simple. Simple conditions. I can easily meet, and you are such a, you know, you have possessing such a wonderful qualities. So who will not accept to these kind of conditions? Pururava completely gave himself to her. That was fine. And it was mentioned, they lived together in a long time. And they enjoyed sex for a long time. It was mentioned, King Pururava later in this verse, he mentions, he didn't even notice day and night passing because of her association. So such a strong association. And even though actually King Pururava was a learned man, he was pious, but he was completely captivated by the beauty and association of Urvashi. Time passed. So now, whom actually Urvashi is supposed to dance with or dance for? Indra. So Indra started thinking, where is Urvashi? He was thinking, where is Urvashi? And there is no fun in the assembly without Urvashi. So we had to do something. So he actually sent a few Gandharvas to resolve the situation. So Gandharvas went. They went in the middle of the night. So usually, Urvashi and Pururava, they were together. And Urvashi had two lambs. And she used to keep these lambs like her babies. So attached to these lambs. And Gandharvas, they knew what to do. They came and they actually stored these two lambs. And when this happened, King Pururava, he was too much captivated by Urvashi and he didn't do anything. He just simply lie down and he was, oh no, it is gone. He was simply lamenting. Seeing this, Urvashi became completely angry and she started chastising Pururava. He said, you are a eunuch. You are not a man. You are just lying down. You are not doing nothing. And she mentioned, it's not worth being with you. So when Pururava heard these sharp words, because it was directly hurting his false ego, so immediately he jumped from the bed and he started chasing this Gandharvas. At that time, he was not wearing anything. So he had his weapon and he was his sword and he was chasing this Gandharvas. And finally, after a fight, he could get these two lambs and he came back. But he was naked. So at that point, Urvashi said, yes, that's it. The deal is over. So I'm going. So she left. Immediately she left. And Pururava was so attached to her that when she left, he became just like a madman. He said he started wandering here and there because, you know, the whole attachment, he was completely bewildered by her beauty and now left with nothing. And that's it. He lost it. And it said many years actually he wandered in the forest. Then one time he again happened to meet Urvashi. And that time he addressed, Purirava addressed Urvashi, "Look, how can you leave me and why don't you come with me again?" Then Urvashi actually gave some instructions. And that was very interesting instructions. Because Urvashi has full experience in one sense about association with the opposite sex. Because she is empowered being in one sense, because she is the manifestation of beauty. She is coming from the Supreme Lord. And she has danced for many Indras. Not just one Indra. Because her lifespan is even more. So she has danced for and captivated many Indras. And she mentioned to Purirava, "Look, this association with the opposite sex is not going to help you. It cannot actually give anything, any fulfillment as such. So you have to get over it. You had to control the senses." So this was the prime instructions that was given by Urvashi, who was sufficiently experienced. And to some degree, Purirava could understand that the path he was taking is completely wrong. So this instruction, and King Purirava later verses mentions that even though I tried to to satisfy my lustful desires again and again, still I couldn't get any satisfaction. It's a very, very important point that one has to understand. Even though he tried to satisfy his lust, but he couldn't get any satisfaction. As we can see the same teaching in Bhagavad Gita in the 3rd chapter. Arjuna asks, "Athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purusha anichan iva kaunteya." Balativa niyojitaha. So that is balativa niyojitaha. So as if somebody doesn't want to do the sinful activity, but as if somebody is forcing to do, what is the reason for that? So Arjuna is asking this question because it's very, very important. We have a strong tendency. Why do we do sinful activity even though we don't want to? So here he is telling them, Krishna says, "Kamayesha kor krodhayesha rajoguna samudbhavam mahashinam mahapapmam vithyevam eha vairinam." That is, this is only because of the sinful enemy of the living beings, which is the lust, which is produced from the mode of passion. So he said, okay, this is the problem. So it's very, and then mentioned dushparena analena cha, that is, it is just, just like pouring oil into the fire. However we try to satisfy the lustful desire, it actually increases. There is no point of stopping. So Krishna says, okay, there is a method, that is, tasmat indriyanyato niyamya bhardashava. So first you do one thing, start controlling the senses. So this is the instruction given by Krishna in this regard. So we can see the same instruction actually given by Purirava also in his Aila Gita. The attachment, how it has to be understood in a very clear manner, because there is no point, we try to satisfy our material desire, lustful desire again and again, but one cannot get satisfaction. And this is a very important knowledge, because this knowledge is completely lacking in the outside world, in the karmic world, because the whole fulfillment, people think it is because, okay, I can fulfill my desire in so many different ways, so I'll be satisfied, but it doesn't happen. And the problem is there is no alternative, so they go in the same path. Now, if you see in Krishna conscious society, there are different ashrams for the sake. Even especially considering association with the opposite sex, there are 4 ashrams, and it is actually classified according to how much one is allowed to associate with the opposite sex. If you see brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha or sannyas, it is based on the association with the opposite sex is a very important theme in all these 4 ashrams. So in one ashram, the association that you restricted is allowed with the opposite sex. That is in the grihastha ashram. In brahmachari, vanaprastha or sannyas, it is not allowed. There is a clear definition, okay, one shouldn't. Even one has to, brahmachari, one has to associate, it has to be just minimal for the sake of service. Nothing else. So That is the kind of instructions that are given in the scriptures for the protection of, it is for the protection of our devotional service. Because the attraction for the opposite sex, because we are considering ourselves to be the center, we are considering ourselves to be the enjoyers. And that is actually, the false ego is to the peak in association with the opposite sex. So, the clear instructions are given, how one should control the senses. As we said, two classifications are given, for instance, in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That is Shrotra, that is the sense of hearing. A Brahmachari should use the sense of hearing. Using the hearing, one should control the mind in the fire of mental control. That is, one should listen. The process is by listening. And a specific process given in for the Grihastha is, it is use the object of the senses. That's all the facilities in the control of the senses. Means restricted sense enjoyment. Not just unlicensed. So there are rules and regulations everywhere. Otherwise, there is no point in, there is no possibility of making spiritual advancement. So ultimately, whichever ashram one is, one has to understand only Krishna can give satisfaction and fulfillment. That is the whole purpose. Whether one is a Grihastha, whether one is a Brahmachari, Vanapras, Sannyas. One can understand, a Brahmachari can understand by restraining the senses, avoiding the association with the opposite sex, and realizing through devotional service that only Krishna is the actual source of enjoyment. And Grihastha can directly experience the association with the opposite sex. And through devotional service, one can understand, okay, just with the association with the opposite sex, one cannot get satisfaction. But only through devotional service, only through Krishna, one can derive fulfillment. So, both the ashrams actually ultimately comes to the same conclusion. That is, Krishna is the source of pleasure and we can achieve fulfillment only through devotional service. Only two different ways to attack Maya. That's all. Then, here, this verse is very important because it actually talks about the spiritual taste, which can actually help us to control our senses. Here the whole chapter mentions, what is the solution? Solution is mentioned. Ultimately, it is only by the association with the saintly devotees that one can control the senses. That is the only way. So, if we have to come to that point, here it is mentioned, Krishna, if we understand the attractive nature of Krishna, it is mentioned, that is, one can achieve me, the reservoir of all pleasure, and the Supreme Soul. So, even if you take Nectar of Devotion, the first verse itself presents Krishna. The first verse of Nectar of Devotion. And the first verse of Nectar of Devotion presents Krishna as Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Parshamara Ruchirutha Tarika Palir Kalida Shyamaludato Radha Praya Vidhu Jayati. So, it's very, very interesting way Krishna is being presented. Okay, point number one. That is, Krishna is the source of, reservoir, he is the fountainhead of all the rasas, all the enjoyment, all the mellows, all transcendental humor. He is the source. And that means he is the all attractive. It actually presents Krishna as the all attractive Krishna. And then it is given the hierarchy of gopis. And what is the significance of gopis? Because in the whole world, the most beautiful people are gopis. The most attractive people are gopis. And that too it is mentioned in a hierarchy. First it is mentioned Taraka, one gopi, then Pali, then Kalita Shyama Lalita, then Shyama, then Lalita, and finally Srimati Radharani. So it is mentioned from bottom to top, in the hierarchical order, even the gopis from lower position to the highest position, even they are completely captivated by the beauty and character and activities of Krishna. So that's how Krishna is being presented. Because if we present a man, and if a man is attractive, you know, women are attracted to that man. In the same way, Krishna is the original man. So, even the most beautiful people of the world, that is the gopis, they are completely captivated by Krishna. So it is mentioned, it's not just the gopis, even his own expansions are attracted to Krishna. What to speak about, you know, other people. His own expansions. That is, he has many Vishnudatta expansions. So it is mentioned, Vismapitam Sosyaja Saubhagarte Parampadam Bhushana Bhushanangam. So Vismapitam is completely bewildered, completely attracted. Sosya, his own expansions. So Krishna has so many expansions. You know, the first Chaturvyuha Balaram, his first Chaturvyuha, second Chaturvyuha, so many Narayan expansions, so many expansions in Vaikuntha, so many Vishnus. So all of them, even they are attracted seeing Krishna. So it is mentioned, Parampadam Bhushana Bhushanangam, so that he becomes the ornament of his ornaments. So Krishna's beauty is such that he becomes the ornament of his own ornaments. So usually ornaments are meant to give beauty to a person. But this is the other way around. Who can actually beautify Krishna? So the ornaments becomes, you know, just insignificant in presence of Krishna. So this is attractiveness of Krishna. So only through devotional service can we actually relish the beauty of Krishna. We have to chant, we have to read, we have to see the beautiful form of the Lord. And when we meditate on them, then we can see, okay, yes, the Lord is really beautiful. And then the Lord comes to foreground of our mind, not just Maya. So that is very important. Same with Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is attractive, Srimad Bhagavatam is also very attractive. It is mentioned, even in Bhagavatam, that even there are descriptions of the glories of the Lord, even if it may be imperfect, and there may not be any poetic language, still the devotees of the Lord are attracted to such descriptions of Krishna in scriptures, even if there is no poetic language, it is mentioned. And if there is mistakes, Tadvag Visargo Janadhaga Viplavo Yasmin Pradishlokam Abhathya Vathyabhi Namani Anantasya Yashongitaniya Srinandi Gayandi Ghananti Sadhava. So it is mentioned, you can see this verse in all cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning of all cantos of Bhagavatam. This is a verse from first canto, 5th chapter, verse number 12 or 13. Yeah. It is mentioned that even if there is some mistakes in glorification of the Supreme Lord, still the devotees who are thoroughly honest, they appreciate. So Prabhupada, due to his humility, he is mentioning this verse in different all cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. It doesn't mean that there are mistakes in Srila Prabhupada's presentation, but it just mentioned that even if there are mistakes, still it is completely acceptable by devotees who are honest in the process of devotional service. And at the same time, what can we see in Bhagavatam? Has it got poetic language? Yes, it is full of poetic language. It is not just it's not at all dry. It is complete, it is a beautiful poetry. Usually, it's very interesting, even in the material sense, if you see high philosophy, if you see high philosophical books, it is quite dry. The paragraphs spread over pages, and it's tough to read, and there is no juice in it. It is quite intellectual, but there is nothing for the heart. You know, you can see the pages and pages goes on, the same paragraph is running. I was seeing one book, you know, just so many pages, one paragraph. It is a bit of a shock. And at the same time, Srimad Bhagavatam, it has the highest philosophy, but it is presented in a very beautiful way, in a very poetic way. Even the very strong verses are very poetic. So that is very interesting. It is spiritual aesthetics. You know, it is beauty. What can relish Srimad Bhagavatam? Because of its content, because of its language, because of its poetry. And otherwise, even if there are poetic language, it is considered, it is just the place of pilgrimage of cross. If there is no description of the glories of Krishna, then it is considered place of pilgrimage of cross. What is the place of pilgrimage of cross?
Garbage.
So it is considered just garbage. So all the books what we see, which do not have descriptions of glories of Krishna, that is garbage. That is our definition of a garbage. Whether there is glories of Krishna or not. As Nectar of Instruction says, first verse, it is nothing but, these kind of books are nothing but, you know, the speech, uncontrolled speech. It is the emanation of uncontrolled speech. If one cannot control the sense of free speech, then it is coming in the form of just speech as well as writing in so many different ways. It is just junk. So Bhagavatam actually rejects. In fact, these two verses go together in the 5th chapter of 1st canto. That is Tatvag Visargo. That is, even if there are mistakes, if there are glorification of the Supreme Lord, then that is completely acceptable. And even if there are beautiful language, and if there is no glorification of the Supreme Lord, then it is just a garbage. These two verses are, you know, consecutive verses in Srimad Bhagavatam to contrast what is real and what is unreal. So only with the association of devotees, that is the conclusion, only with the association of devotees we can actually hear about the glories of the Supreme Lord. And only by hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord, we can actually understand about the Supreme Lord. That is point number one. Then our heart will be captured. We can actually remember the glories of the Supreme Lord. And when we perform devotional service, when our heart is actually captured by glories of the Supreme Lord, then it becomes complete. It is said paribhavita, that is 100%. Because our mind and our body and speech as well, when it is engaged, then it is paribhavita. Then the Lord becomes pleased. It is complete. So anyway, for the beginning, at least the body has to be engaged. But to advance, one's mind also be absorbed in the glories of the Supreme Lord. And with that, one can actually easily go beyond this, you know, attraction to the opposite sex. One can be stable in one's ashram and one can perform devotional service. So here I stop and see if there are any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, you mentioned many times the attraction to the opposite sex being the cause of fall down.
Yes.
And yet the biggest fall down in this constituency wasn't in fact with the opposite sex.
What is that?
It wasn't with the opposite sex, the biggest fall down in this one's history. So is that addressed anywhere in the Bhagavatam?
I actually didn't get the point.
The biggest fall down in this one's history wasn't because of attraction to the opposite sex.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
It was attraction to the same sex, which was a major... which was a major fall down by a major personality within his form. Is that addressed anywhere in the Bhagavatam?
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen what?
I haven't seen a description of the attraction to the same sex as such.
Right.
Yeah, there is a mention. Yes, there is a mention in third canto. I had to really think about it. Is there in case of Brahma's creation, the initial part, I think such kind of a description is mentioned. But prime description is not about attraction to the same sex, but it is about the opposite sex. Because if you see, that is a prime driving principle for people in general. And that's a problem faced by everyone. If you see, you know, the group of devotees, if you see, that is the main problem. And this perverted thing, you know, as the Kali Yuga is progressing, these things, anomalies are coming and it is becoming more and more. But at the same time, the prime principle doesn't actually change. Yeah, if you see, you know, if you see the whole world, what is the prime attraction? No, don't, not just ISKCON, it's the whole world. That's the same attraction. It's the opposite sex. It is a fact.
Well,
that's
changing in this modern age.
Yeah, in modern age, there is some change, but still predominant is attraction to the opposite sex. What disturbs us in our devotional service? Generally, for a common devotee. Even in ISKCON, yes?
Yeah, even the same thing, it still falls under.
Yes, it's same. Exactly, it's the same thing. It's the same thing because the principle is the same ultimately. Because we want to enjoy separate from the Lord, so the principle is the same.
And in that case as well, there was lots of association with same people as well, so it's quite admiring that happened.
Yeah, so we had to take advantage of association with the saintly persons. And hear their instructions and follow it.
On the other hand, though, we do have the advantage of having an example to use as well in the future.
Yes.
To push that under the cart, to actually use that as an example.
Yes.
Making discussions about the opposite sex, to use that as an example as
well. Yes, that's correct, yeah. Any other points or questions? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
I remember, I think it was 97 or 98, I started to read some Buddhist scriptures, just a little, like, Buddhist scripture, and I was thinking to myself, wow, where's the poetry in this? I didn't I hadn't never read Srimad Bhagavatam, but it was so dry, and it was like almost like a process of elimination, as to, because if this is talking about God, then where is the poetry? Where is the beauty of the scripture? So it was like, it was, to me, it's just like reading, you know, medical journals.
Bhagavad Gita mainly it mentions the flowery languages of the Vedas, which are like the poison fruit of the trees, you know, poison fruit. So it is basically mentioning about the Karmakanda section. It is mentioned Kurudeva is actually the originator of Karmakanda. This king is the originator, the creator of, no, the original, the initial follower of Karmakanda section of Vedas. It's mentioned in 9th canto. Because he wanted Urvashi and he started performing different kinds of Karmakanda sacrifices to get her. So, the meaning of flowery languages is, it gives promises which are of no use ultimately. Yes, it is good in one sense, to some degree, that is to get heavenly pleasures, to get more sense gratifications. If there are many promises that are given in the Vedas, like doing this yajna one can taste somaras, okay, doing this one can go to the heavenly planet and you can one can dance with the heavenly demisels, you know, in the Nandana Kanana forest. Okay, so there are different promises and one could follow the process and one could achieve that result. However, it is also mentioned it is temporary. So if somebody considers that mentions as all in all, then actually one is in the trap of the flowery languages. So, you know, it is mentioned Imam Pushpitam Vacham Pravachanti Vipachastita Vedavataratana Partha Na Anyadasti Iti Vadina. That is Imam Pushpitam Vacham. This is the flowery language. So they consider Na Anyadasti Iti Vadina. They say, oh, there is nothing more than this. That's it. And so Krishna says next verse, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nish Traigunya Bhavarjana. Yes. This Vedas are contaminated with the three modes of material nature, so you come out of it.
So. Is that the same as Sakamana Pratyaya? Like, kind of abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me? So, because those things are just varieties of religion.
Yeah, that's right. When you see varieties of religion, which is not 100% focused on Krishna.
Could that also mean destinations?
Yeah, it can mean designations as well, yeah. Yeah, that is it. Sarva Dharma and Paridhiji is more a generic verse because it's asking you to give up everything in one sense. And at the same time, this flowery language, as you mentioned, that is specifically pointing out to the mentions of Vedas of Karmakanda, where there are nice descriptions about the promises of sense enjoyment that is given as a reward to sacrifices.
Just another comment there. There's this sign at the, I think it's the ACG or something like that. It says, heaven is a place where nothing happens. And it's like, massive, like, in big light. And I was thinking to myself, this is just such total ignorance. People that are, you know, professing this thing, and they're bewildering and actually misguiding other people like that, even though they have no even understanding
what heaven is in
the
first place. What state of Krishna and spiritual
world.
Yes. Like that.
Yeah.
I
want to
find them
and
like
give them
Krishna
purpose.
Yeah, that's right.
Far away from the reality. Yes, bro. Vedas, you see the Upasana Yeah. Janakana. By following that, does a person come to the ultimate truth or you just in a dying?
Upasana talks about devotional service, so that is, of course, that is acceptable. Jnana, at the same time, one can come to maximum to the platform of impersonal liberation. So, it's a progressive step. Even the Vedas are not actually meant to just give karmakanda and stop there. That's not the purpose of Veda. Veda is meant to give knowledge in a sequential way and a progressive way. So by performing karmakanda, one can actually understand the process works. So in that way he develops faith in the Vedas. Then one can go for the higher section, that is jnana. Okay, the process works and the process says that we are not just bodies and we are spirit soul and we have higher destination. So one goes to jnana. Then in jnana one can understand the jnana process and one can get realization and one can go to upasana. So there is a gradual progression that is meant in the Vedic presentation. However, the problem is that it takes many, many lifetimes to understand these things. So it is a very, very slow process. Because how long it takes for and another point, in this age it's not possible to perform karmakanda sacrifices in a proper way. There are no qualified brahmanas and there is no quality ingredients for the sacrifices. And we don't have the patience as well. So it's impractical on one side. And even if one is ready to do, still it takes many lifetimes to come to the conclusion. So better chant Hare Krishna, which is a direct process.
No,
Upasana Kanda,
is it not a type of
Karma Kanda? No, Upasana Kanda is not Karma Kanda because Upasana Kanda gives devotional service.
Is it demigod worship?
No, Karma Kanda is demigod worship. Karma Kanda, because the sacrifice means sacrifice for demigods, because then they can provide, because they are higher authority, so they can provide material gratification. So Karma Kanda is demigod worship. Upasana as such is not demigod worship. It has devotional element to it because it is considered superior to jnana. Thank you very much. Kansa Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.